Need Advice Part 2. Thank you, Brother Lawrence. Need Advice Part 2. If I say last week, you know I wasn't here last week, but last week meaning the last time I was here sharing Need Advice Part 1, this is basically a continuation of Need Advice Part 2. And so you know when you are in a new city trying a new restaurant, you are trying to get everything in before you have to depart and go back home. So today, I do have a lot of content. I have a lot of information. I feel like I have a lot of revelation. And so I won't be long, but I will be strong. Amen. All right. So I will try to speed through a little review. And then also, I don't want to insult your intelligence either. So I won't stop for the worksheets. I'm just going to keep going and you just catch what you can catch. But I'm excited about today. Need advice, because everybody need advice. I need advice. All of us need advice. And if, again, you're watching, if you want to type in the chat, need advice. The takeaway today, I want to start with the takeaway, because when you leave today and somebody asks, what happened at the house of Judah? What did you learn? What was the teaching about? The main takeaway, there's a journey in the takeaway today. There's a journey in just knowing the power of content. Everybody say the power of content and the power of context. So that, just walking away with that in your spirit and that in your heart, will put you on a journey of not just looking at God's word like a bunch of tweets. God's word is more than just a bunch of scriptures that's tweetable. Amen? And so there's power in context and power in content. Content meaning God's word is content. Amen? So I have a respect this year for God's content. I mean, I really respect God's word like never before. Philippians 4:19 is where we're coming from today. Again, continuation, Need Advice Part 2. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. It's always interesting to see that. I always want to say needs. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in another place. Don't think for one moment that God's riches is here on earth. Amen. God is not better than us. His resources is not better than our resources. It's other than us. It's other than our resources. According to his riches in another place, in glory, by Christ Jesus. Why did it say need? God will supply all of your needs. It says God will supply all of your need. Need, because there's an overarching need. When we look at God will supply all of your need. What is the overarching theme? Psalm 42:1 says, ask, if you want to turn to it real quick, Psalm 42:1, ask the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs or pants for you, my God. That's the need. The overarching need is God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. In another place, the overarching need is this longing and this thirst for God. All of us have something in us that knows when it just feels like we need something. If you're walking through life and you say, there's got to be more because I'm not fulfilled where I am, that thirst is as the... Ain't nothing like getting your thirst quenched with a good glass of what? Good glass of water. Mountain Dew won't do. Dr. Pepper. Any Dr. Pepper drinkers in here? Yes. I'm 6 years free, I think, of Dr. Pepper, maybe more. But there's nothing like a glass of water to quench your thirst. So when we are looking at God's word, remember today we want to have a respect for content and context. Context is everything. So you want to never look at somebody and look at them and just judge them based on what you see. Amen. And so the same way, we don't want to look at God's word and just look at the tweetable scriptures and say and run with it. We don't want to ever run with just one passage. Amen. Is that fair? We want to apply something called stop. And stop is basically something that Lex and I learned, my wife and I learned. And it's something that is pretty powerful. Just want to give it to you. S stands for situation. This is in relationship to reading God's word, and we stop. What is the situation? What is the historical context? What type of literature are we looking at? What object? Who do you think this passage is talking to? I know we're looking at God's word, but what is going on in this situation? And then, of course, P, stop. Is this a prescription or a description? Is this descriptive of something that we just need to take notes and take a principle from that? Or is it literal? Is God saying, is God's word literal? I mean, do we need to do X, Y, Z verbatim? So as we apply stop again today, is about respecting context and the content. And so in Philippians 4:19, we know there's a conversation between two parties. This is the context. We have Paul. This is a conversation. This is a grateful Paul. Everybody say grateful. He's grateful. If you read in Philippians 4, we see Paul is in bondage, but he seems like he's talking like he's free. He's physically bound, but he's like spiritually free. That's a good place to be. We're quarantined, but we have this peace. Amen. We're watching church online, but we have this inner peace. Paul is trusting in God. He's in prison. The pastoral Paul. Look at Paul as like a legit pastor. He's a great pastor giving great advice. Need advice today. Part two, need advice. Paul is giving great advice. He didn't start off like that. If you know his story, Paul was something to reckon with, but God did a wonderful thing in his life. Amen. I'm so glad God changed me. Anybody else glad God changed you? Yeah, I have that in common with Paul. He's physically bound, but spiritually free, excuse me. And he's leading while locked up. He's locked up, but he's leading. He's leading while he's locked up. That is so powerful. And Paul is basically encouraging the church of Philippians. He's giving them well wishes. He's giving them advice. He says, you need to do this. You need to do more of this. Stop doing this. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for putting money on my books. He's in jail. He said, thank you, church. You're putting money on my books, and I appreciate it. And he's grateful. He said, I don't really need your money, but thank you for your money. And I'm really grateful. This is a grateful Paul. And so he's saying here in Philippians 4:19 to the church of Philippians, he is telling them, but my God, the same God that's looking out for me in my situation, is going to supply all your need according to his riches in another place. And remember last week we talked about need being connected to business. Everybody say business. From where I'm from, we say business. Business, we don't quite make it work. Business, God's business. Need is associated with task. What kind of task? God's task. The task for, he will supply all of your need. It's associated with a Greek word that means business, task, and it's the journey needs for your journey. The journey. We all are on this journey. We're trying to find our way. We didn't ask to be here, and so now we're here. What do we do? Everybody say, what do we do? We're just trying to figure it out. We're trying to work out our own soul salvation with what? Fear and trembling. But while we are here, if you have not decided to trust in God, trust in Jesus, I suggest you consider trusting in Jesus. Because if you are in lack, perhaps a bogus journey equals no distribution. In other words, God will supply all of your business. He will supply, he will finance kingdom business. He will support a kingdom task. Are you good for business? Does your to-do list get God's attention? When you go to make your to-do list every night or every morning, does it get God's attention? Do your footsteps trigger God's distribution of resources? Would you put money in a vending machine that is out of order? Yes or no? Why not? Because it's out of order. Amen? Is your journey worth the investment? So last week I talked about Maslow hierarchy of needs. Abraham is in the Bible, but Maslow is not in the Bible. So Abraham Maslow was a humanistic psychologist, and he talked about he was on this quest to figure out what makes us happy. What makes us happy? What makes man tick? What motivates us? Our behaviors, Maslow said, our behaviors is motivated by a need. Of course, I'm only lifting what his observations, because they are profound. He made a strong effort to distance his profoundness, his smartness, from the things of God, apart from biblical foundations. But we have to be careful. I said it last week, because in Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as some of our own poets have said. We are his offspring. In other words, I am nothing without God. Fill in the blanks. I am nothing without God. But Abraham Maslow said that basically there's this tier. All of us have needs. I agree with him on this. And what he said, that there's a hierarchy and there's almost a graduation from one place to another. That kind of sounds biblical. From glory to what? From glory to glory. We're on this path. There's this movement, and every time we move from one place, from one level to the next, we graduate. And last week we talked about the physiological needs, and then today we're going to talk about safety, social esteem, and self-actualization, and what Maslow's observation as it relates to those things. Y'all okay? So this is really huge in psychology. My Cash App is Alpheus Anderson, so y'all can send me back to school to get my psychology degree. Amen? Just find me somewhere and just give. But I am likely not going back to school. But I am going to always be a student of learning. Amen? So these are examples of things we do to fill the void in the natural. So we all have needs, but these are things that you may do. I won't go over the physiological needs, but basically we need food, shelter, and water. So we do things to get those needs met. Amen? But today we're talking about safety needs. So this is what we do, examples of things we do in the natural to make sure we feel safe. Yesterday I took an 8-hour gun class. Why? Because at my house or while I'm traveling, I want to feel safe. There's something in me that says I want to drive to Columbia, South Carolina, and take an 8-hour class to get certified to carry. Amen? We want to feel safe. Everybody want to feel safe. So that's another tier in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. He says, once we feel like we have food, water, we have shelter, we feel good about those things, it's not enough. We say there's more. I need to protect those things. So we do things also like get a gym membership, because as it relates to safety and the hierarchy of needs, we want to make sure we are in health. Because if you're not in good health, you can't make money. Amen? And so we get a gym membership. We take vitamins. We get a job so we can continue to upkeep our nice car, home, keep buying clothes. We're motivated. Our needs are motivating us, according to Maslow. We also get security cameras. We don't get one gun. We get 10 guns. We get a lawyer. We retain a lawyer. We get insurance. All to feel what? Safe. Then he says you graduate from that. All of those needs are checked off. So what's next? He says you want to feel like you belong. Maslow says you are sitting at the house with insurance, a 401k, and now you are feeling lonely. And now depression is knocking at the door. Why? You have a gun? You have insurance? You have a 401k? Because these are things that you may do in the natural to fulfill the social need on the inside of you. The need to belong. You join a fraternity. You join a gang. You join a book club. You join the House of Judah. Because you want to feel connected to a community. Amen. You continue to show up at the House of Judah because you want to feel like you are part of a community. You join a secret society. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's why you joined the secret society. Because you have a need to belong. And you're gonna fulfill that need by any means necessary, positively or negatively. Amen? Because, you know, there's good relationships and there's what? There's bad relationships. Once we check off, I'll speed through this. Once we check off the need to feel like you belong and scratch that itch, we all want to feel that we matter. Amen? Who wants to be around people that doesn't value you, that don't value you? When you don't feel that, you are bummed out. Imagine sleeping beside a woman that doesn't love you. Or being in a family where you are the black sheep. That is not a good feeling. Amen. So that's why they choose gangs. That's why the next generation choose negative associations and relationships. They're not getting these needs met when they are below the shoulders. Maslow talks about esteem, self-esteem. So things we do in the natural to basically fill the void is you put degrees up on your wall where it's most visible. You put your awards up. Amen? You want to look at them things and say, my God, he blessed me throughout the years. You put your awards up. You join boards. You are 56 years old and you start doing flag football. You can't give it up. You love the applause. Esteem. Nothing wrong with wanting to be affirmed. I mean, how do you think Jesus felt on the cross when God looked and said, this is my what? Not my son, but my beloved son, who I am well pleased with. What did you think? What do you think that did to the human Jesus in the flesh? He felt like he what? That God didn't leave him. He felt like he belonged. Imagine if we are young and we never feel that. We never hear that. So the last one, the top dog, I'll skip a few. Is self-actualization. I got a feeling that this is spelled wrong. And I'm only saying that because I got this from a trusted source. So if you want to just correct that. And plus me pointing that out that it's spelled wrong makes me feel smart. Makes me what? Feel smart. If y'all don't tell me I'm smart, I'm going to do what? Do things. What's the statement? What's the frog that what? That basically talks about a frog praising his own pond. Y'all remember that? Basically, I'm encouraging myself. Forget y'all. I know how to build myself up in the most holy faith. Amen. So check this out. Things that people do when they feel like they have arrived-ish. They know they are doing good. They are successful. But these are musicians that perform for free. They don't charge to play. It's not a pay for play because They say, I'm good. I have Grammys. I have Stellars. I have Doves. I have Country Music Awards. Hey, can you come and speak to my high school class? Yes. How much are you going to charge? No worries. Give to my what? Foundation. Because when you are self-actualized, you basically are concerned about not being stagnant in life. You're never satisfied with where you are. Maslow says this, that you're concerned about personal growth. You are the CEO and you're going back to school. Why? Not to make more money, but personal growth is important. Do y'all know individuals in your family that they have 4 degrees and they only make $2,000 a year? Like, personally, I don't get that, because if I'm going to spend $20,000, that needs to make sense in C-E-N-T-S. It needs to make what? Sense. So people that are self-actualized, they start a foundation after being president. Barack Obama, he could retire and sell off in the sunset. But Barack Obama he's not quitting. He's not sitting down. He has this foundation. He is continuing. He is now concerned about what? Legacy. Amen. A church that's self-actualized has not one location, but it has not two locations, but one church in 10 locations. That's a church that self-actualized, concerned about moving forward. When you are self-actualized, you build your own movie studio, your own campus with a bunch of studios. Who am I talking about? A billionaire. And I wonder what's going on in Tyler Perry's mind. I bet he's sitting down and saying, I am not satisfied. And we're looking at him saying, what? Billionaire can go anywhere you want. You don't have to get a vaccine to travel. You have your own jet. You're looking at Tyler Perry saying, sir, why are you not happy? I'm not saying this is the case, but I am willing to bet, because self-actualized people become president after being a successful businessman. Who am I talking about? I heard you in the spirit. Well, he wasn't that successful of a businessman. Well, the verdict is out on that. Self-actualized people volunteer or retire from teaching, and then they go back and be a sub. That's a self-actualized person. All right, now I have bored you for about 4 minutes. I want to kind of start landing this and make this make sense. The takeaway today is to respect context and content. Content and context. Let's respect it and let's make it make sense. We know we have needs, but because of lack and shortage and inadequacies and neglect, because there's a deficiency, because there's a deficiency, there's a behavior that will try to make up for that void. How do they act? Homeless. Muse about it. Think about it. How do the homeless act? How do the individuals that are hungry act? How do the individuals that are sleepy act? How do the individuals that don't feel safe act? How do the individuals that have bills, not just bills, but have a lot of bills? I mean tons of bills. How do they act? How do individuals that never experience pure love act? How do individuals that lack positive affirmation, how do they act? These are common behavior and responses when needs are not met. The fight or flight approach. They lie, cheat, and steal, and kill for power, position, and comfort. These folks are attention-seeking. These individuals have low immune system. These are common responses and behaviors of individuals that don't have certain needs met. Promiscuity, workaholics, unhealthy diet. Why are you eating so much, ma'am? Why are you eating so much, sir? What's going on in your head? There's always an unmet need for behavior. For every behavior is based on a need or a lack thereof. Everybody's motivated to say, do, walk, look by a certain need. I walk this way, I dress this way because I need X, Y, Z. Even if you are self-actualized and you don't need anybody else's compliment. You look in the mirror and you walk out and you're all right. But there's a need. When that need is unmet, these are common behavior and responses. Number 11, unhealthy relationships and substance abuse. These are just vitamins and supplements because you're not getting the real thing. I'm almost finished. These are some more examples. What is the homeless missing? You would say a home. But what is the homeowner missing? What is the single person missing? You would say marriage. But what is the married person missing? What is the poor missing? You would say money. But what is the rich? What are the rich missing? What are the CEOs missing? What is the janitor missing? You say a promotion. What are you missing, sir, making $200,000? What are you missing? Everybody is missing something. And so there are certain behaviors based on the voids in your life. Look at somebody and say, yes, sir, that explains a lot. It explains a lot. It explains. That's why Taquisha acts the way she acts. She has needs. God will supply all of your need, this longing, this longing, that's the overarching need. So, again, almost finished here. Everybody's okay? Poor, this is a great example I want to lift real quick. Rich people, everybody say good old rich people. Everybody say, I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. All right. You are rich, believe it or not. Rich people experience happiness in a more self-centered way than poor people. A study suggests, all right, y'all stay with me. Rich people are more likely to experience happiness as feelings of contentment and pride. Those with less money tend to have stronger feelings of love and compassion. In America, U.S. is ranked number 19 in happiness. Since 2010, happiness and well-being among Americans have not been good, according to a 2019 report. The U.S. have also fared poorly in other areas. We're number 61 for freedom, 42nd for corruption, and 37 for social support. The only good news, everybody say there's good news. The U.S. ranked number 10 for income. So we're making more money, but we are not happy and content with more income. Anybody else estimation? Scratching my head? I'm going to end with the scripture here. Ish. Philippians 4. Turn there for me real quick. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. We know that Paul is talking here. Context. Paul is talking. Now, context. Paul is talking content. Paul is talking about content in this context. All right. Philippians 4. 10. Paul is talking. He says, rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Paul is talking to the Philippians. Indeed, you were concerned, but you have no opportunity to show it because I'm locked up. You want to support me, but you can't really support me like if I was a free man. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Everybody say content. I know what it is to be in need. Raise your hand if you can identify with this. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And now we have, I can do all things through Christ. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Fill in the blanks for me. Table of contents. What do you do for a living? I am a YouTuber. I create content. I have learned to be content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. Insurance companies asking a homeowner who just lost everything in a fire, they're asking the homeowner for a list of what? Contents, so they can reimburse the homeowner. The TV networks are looking for more what? Paul said, I have learned to be content. I have learned to be content. What is content? I'm submitting you today that content, when you look up the word content, it has something to do with being self-sufficient. I have learned to be content in every state, in every situation. Content. Confident in what I don't know and what I don't have. How are you processing the content in your life? And how are you processing the content in your life? The contentment. I'm hoping y'all getting this. Alpheus, somebody told me years ago, Alpheus is very cocky, very hard for me to believe. But really, I mean, in a certain circle, I mean, I had the reputation. Ask my wife. They said Alpheus is cocky and he is very confident. But what they did not detect, they didn't have context for the content. I was scared to death to be doing everything I was doing for a period of time, even though it looked flamboyant and it looked like it looked a certain way. But the context was I was confident in what I didn't know. I knew I couldn't do a certain. I focused on what I did. I focused on my weaknesses. I knew I couldn't do this. So I was confident. I said I would never do this. So I was not depressed because I knew I would never be able to be a bodybuilder. I know I'm making light of it. So I was confident in walking around in my body. That makes sense. So when you're confident in what you don't have and what you don't know, content, living in God's content, living in God's fullness, strong enough or the state of possessing enough. I am good in this season. Everybody say, I am good. Everybody say, I have enough. I have enough content and I have enough content. Everybody say, I have enough content and I have enough content. This content is interchangeable in high times and in low times. Perhaps Paul is saying, I have learned to be content in every situation. Perhaps he is saying, make sure, ma'am, sir, you have enough content, because God knows we need content, because content is basically material things. So perhaps it's not that we should ignore having enough physiological things in our life. We need water. We cannot go through life and say, God will supply all of my need, so I don't need to drink water. We know we need to be focused on getting water so we can have enough energy, enough food, so we can do kingdom business. Amen. We need money, amen, so we can invest and help people. So perhaps Paul is saying, I have learned to be content. I have learned to have content in every state. Make sure you have the right content for whatever stage you are in life. It's a balancing act of meeting your materialistic and immaterialistic needs. We need water. We need food. We need clothes. We need safety. We need housing. But how much of it do we need? Do we really need? So it has to become where you graduate from content, being so obsessed about content, to making sure you have enough on the scale content. In every stage in life, the immaterial aspect of content. Amen? So I want to end today with content for content. I find contentment in you, Jesus. In other words, I am satisfied with Jesus, and it has nothing to do with what I have on. I am satisfied with Jesus because he is supplying my need, immaterial needs. I want to end with content for content. So we know that we need safety. So this is safety content from God's word. If you want to write it down real quick. If you're bored and you know it, clap your hands. I almost got you. This is safety content from God's word. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Psalm 91:1. This is safety content. All right. Maslow is clever. He's smart. But God has advice. The Bible has advice for our needs. Let's be very clear as we end the series. Psalm 91:1 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 5:11 says, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Psalm 5:11. Safety content from God's word. So remember social content, the social aspect of the hierarchy of needs. We want to feel like we belong. Amen. So instead of joining gangs, instead of choosing unhealthy relationships, I submit to us today that we can fill that void in Romans 8:38. If you want to turn there real quick, if you want to scroll there. But if you're paper Bible save, if you want to turn there real quick, Romans 8:38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, this is social content from God's word, just to be clear, neither angels nor demons, neither the present, neither the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Hearing that makes me feel like God is on my side. Even if I'm alone, I'm not alone. Psalm 36, verse 5. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for the people and animals alike. So you can feel good with your dog. You belong and your dog belong. Amen. Oh, Lord, how precious is your unfailing love. Oh, God, all humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. Didn't have a good relationship with your father? It's okay. Crack open God's word and know that your heavenly father will fill that void. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are safe. And you won't behave like you feel unsafe. Amen. When these voids are met through God's word, you will behave accordingly. Esteem content from God's word. I keep looking on the screen like it's going to pop up there, but this is only in my notes. So just write down Zephaniah 3:17. This is basically advice from God's word. If you have self esteem issues. And I'm 49, and all of us have self-esteem issues. When I leave here today, I'm going to ask? I'm going to say, how did I do? I'm going to ask my wife, how did I do? Was it clear? Was it concise? Did you get it? Did you walk away with something? Was it okay? Did my shirt? I want to hear something from her. Amen. Amen. How did I do today? But guess what? If she never says a mumbling word, I'll be okay. Because Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God has a song that he's written for each and every one of us. Yeah, that's exciting news. And so when you waking up feeling like there's a song that's being sang over you, your actions throughout the day will be a certain way. You're less likely to wild out. Amen. So maybe we should teach the next generation to listen for the right song so they will stop acting out. Psalm 139, I will praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Then the scripture says, this is the affirmation aspect of it. I know, God, you made me in a great way, but then just to put the stank on it, it says, I know this all too well. It's not enough to hear it, but do you know it? Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, but then David says, I know this though. Imagine if David only heard it in his head, but didn't hear it in his heart. So the top tier of Maslow's hierarchy of need was self-actualization. And so you know that there's more, and you may stand because we're almost finished. We're also going to offer up a prayer. I know that there's a couple House of Judah members and family members that are not feeling well. So we're going to ask Sweets to offer up a prayer. And self-actualization here in a second. Content from God's word. Philippians 1:6. If you haven't gathered, Philippians is a powerful book. It's loaded, locked and loaded. We can spend an entire year in Philippians. So if you are feeling good one day and you say, something's missing. There's more. Go back to school. Apply for that promotion. Apply for that scholarship. But just know this in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, God will supply all of your need. All of your need for kingdom business. He that had begun a good work in you will carry it on the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13. Hope deferred makes heart sick. So don't stop hoping. Churches that are listening, don't stop hoping. Marriages that are listening, don't stop hoping. Single individuals, don't stop hoping. Don't you defer hope. Because hope is not deferred. God's promises are yea and amen. They just have not manifested in your life yet. So hope deferred makes a heart sick. So you keep hoping. John 9. I'll end with this one. 9:4. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night comes when no man can work. Did you receive something from that teaching today? It's a lot. Go back and listen to the tape.